You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I was very tempted, for political reasons, to leave off that last line of the gospel about 5,000 men, not counting women and children, knowing full well that that would stir up a hornet's nest of trouble. But I wanted to read it anyway because I want to suggest, at least a little bit down the line, that that is exactly part of our problem in this world, whether it's women and children or the poor or the disenfranchised, of however you draw the line. Whenever people are put into the not counted category, we have some serious human and spiritual problems. But we'll let that go for just a moment. I saw in the paper the other day that the crops are pretty good this year. Now, I am a city slicker. I have no way of judging such things. But even my untrained eye, as I drive around, can see that the corn got pretty tall and tasseled quite early. The soybeans look kind of green to me. So I take their word for it. It looks like it's going to be a good harvest, which under normal circumstances would be a reason to give praise and thanks to God and for the farmers to rejoice. But I do know enough about agriculture and the economy to know that when there's a good harvest, that's not always great news. Because it seems that in our crazy economy, when there's a good harvest, almost automatically the price of everything goes down by the bushel. It's just this law of supply and demand, they tell us, the economists. You get a whole lot of corn and pork bellies and everything out there in the marketplace, and the price droops. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But that seems to be the way our economy works. It depends on scarcity. And whenever there's a shortage of something, doesn't matter if it's any kind of food or whatever, even gasoline, long as there's a scarcity, somebody, especially on Wall Street, is getting rich off of it. Never fails. And you'd think we would learn after a while to fix this situation, but that's the way it is working. Now, we have some scriptures today that make us think about this just a little bit, and I'm going to risk getting my foot deep down in my mouth over these things because it gets a little bit political here and there. But let's deal with this. The first reading should have tipped us off that something was coming up, because Isaiah said to the people, all the hungry and thirsty people should come to the Lord and get their fill. And he says, without punny, without money, without paying, without cost. Well, that's the first bad news for people who are running the marketplaces. As soon as there's a free lunch, profits go down. You got to keep the prices artificially jacked up high. So Isaiah predicted it, and then Jesus acted it out. And we have this wonderful gospel. We've heard it many times. We've been to church year after year. In fact, there's two places in the gospel where Jesus multiplies bread and fish to feed a hungry crowd. Now, there are two ways of looking at this miracle. You can get real pious and holy about it, and that's one legitimate way, and say that, well, Jesus, as the gospel says, was moved with pity for them. And he saw that they were hungry, and he used his miraculous powers to multiply bread and fish for 5,000 men and God knows how many women and children besides. Probably 10,000 people. It was one of the best church picnics that has ever been had. And nobody had to pay a dime. They all ate until they were stuffed and there were 12 baskets left over. Jesus was operating on the idea of abundance, not scarcity. And I want to suggest to you that besides the spiritual and the pious way of looking at this scripture, you got to remember that Jesus was a revolutionary person. Jesus had no problem about attacking religious leaders who were getting out of line, political leaders, and in this case, the marketplace. Jesus fed probably 10,000 people there, free of charge, with all the bread and the fish they wanted. Can you imagine what that did to the local economy? Just think about it for a moment. Anybody in the fish business saw their prices go down to rock bottom immediately because there were just too many fish around now. Same thing with bread. So everybody in the whole production chain, from the growers to the people who transported it, the people who ran restaurants and little inns and whatever they had in those days, because Jesus was out there on the hillside putting on a free picnic for 10,000 people, everybody's business went rock bottom. It had to happen. St. Matthew doesn't say that, but that's just the way it works in the marketplace. Too much fish, too much bread, prices went to the bottom. So I think there are some lessons for us that we should at least suggest this morning. This is where I know I'm getting on treacherous ground, because we have hotly contested political debates about such things. There are people who run up the flag for free markets and free trade and everything else. But I think the evidence is quite clear. Whenever it is left to its own, the marketplace always finds victims. The marketplace always finds poor people, those who do not count. And they are the ones who suffer even when the economy is supposedly very good. I mean, how many times do we have to relive this story to be convinced of that? Remember 3 or 4 years ago when everything tanked on Wall Street? It wasn't fish and bread in that case. It was the people's savings and investments. And some crazy rich people laughed all the way to the bank, while all kind of poor people, the ones who didn't count, suffered because there were no controls to govern what was going on. So I want to suggest that it's important for us as followers of Jesus, who was a revolutionary person, to get ourselves involved not only in getting ready for heaven, and I want to do that, but also in living justice and fairness in this world. And the only way we can do that is to be involved in the marketplace. And first of all, the church needs to be involved in the policy discussions that are going on. There are people that I don't agree with who say, well, let the church stay in the church and talk about God and Jesus and all kinds of spiritual pious things, but stay out of politics, stay out of economics. We can't do that. Jesus went to bat for the poor and the underprivileged. He fed them. He healed them. Upset the whole medical establishment along with the food establishment. Healing people free of charge. How's that for health care? You want to put that in your debate. But anyway, the church has got to be involved, as it always has in its best moments, in taking care of those who are shortchanged, those who don't count, those who society decides are expendable and do better when there's a shortage rather than an abundance. And so I think it's a pretty good argument for affirmative action of some kind, because left to its own, the marketplace will always benefit the rich and hurt the poor. It's happened hundreds and hundreds of times in history, and still sometimes people argue, stay in church, talk about holy stuff, make novenas and say your rosaries, but don't get involved in the nuts and bolts of social justice. I am suggesting to you, at least for debate, that that is not according to the gospel. So, we ought to be grateful that our church stands for justice, especially for poor and oppressed people. 10-15 years ago, I remember the bishops put out a pastoral letter on the economy. Nobody even read it, much less remembers it these days. But that's the point they made, that we have got to have special care for those who are not served well by our system. Then, at the personal level, the parish level, it's a glory of the church that at our better moments, we are always looking out for people who are unfortunate. Soup kitchens, food pantries, and things like that. I've seen since I've been here at Immaculate Conception, when there's a collection, the stuff just rolls in, and they load it on trucks out there in the parking lot. But we've got to remember that the poor are poor all year round, not just at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Hunger is a problem that affects most of the world's population, and we who are affluent have got to continually remind ourselves of this. So I think that's the lesson for today, that Jesus gave us an example. He didn't mind getting all the merchants and the people who were profiting on bread and fish out of joint, and we shouldn't be too afraid of that either. We should insist on fairness for all of God's people. Now, these miracles of multiplication are always put in the scriptures also as a sign of God's great abundance in feeding us. We come and celebrate the Eucharist at this table. God, at no charge to us whatsoever, wants to nourish us spiritually. That's the idea of a sacrament. It should be a sign, a way that shows us how we also ought to treat one another. So I ask you today that we pray especially for the poor and the hungry, those who do not have the blessings we do, and pray that we as church will be dedicated to taking care of them as our Lord and Savior did himself. May God give us this blessing, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.